Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Our text this morning is verses 20 through 24, and I will begin reading in verse 17 for context. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we now open your word, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in us to open our understanding, our eyes, to see the truth, to see Christ. Lord, we pray that you would be with us and bless us now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, this is the word of God, written for you and for me today. Please give your careful attention as it is read. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. May God add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Well, beloved in Christ, our God is so gracious as he teaches us lesson after lesson on how our lives as Christians should look like, on how we should walk today. He is the good shepherd who, when his children say, I'm going to run over here and I'm going to do it this way, he lovingly responds, no, stop doing that. Leave that behind. Come over here and follow me. Or when we are following him as we ought, he encourages us to keep going, to walk, to run even strong and fast in obedience with endurance. And in Scripture, God often does so by way of contrast. Through the Apostle Paul, he told the church at Ephesus that what they should mortify should be done and they should put those things off. He also told them as to what they should mature in. He tells all believers in all generations what we must leave behind and what we must pursue. What we must put off and what we must put on. Christians must have a different relationship with sin. And this is so helpful to us as Christ continues to train us in his school. As he continues to instruct us on what must be increasingly present in the thoughts and the hearts and the lives of his students, his children. And as he trains us, he sanctifies us. He is shaping us more and more in his image. He is growing us more and more in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. It is a wonderful journey with our Lord and one another. And now in Ephesians 4, as Christ is building, structuring, uniting, and maturing his church, Paul said that there would be things that God's people need to abandon. Part of our worthy walking, part of our walking as Christians should be the walk that looks like learning Christ in the details, applying and following Christ's commands as to what must be left behind. No longer walking as the rest of the Gentiles. No longer walking like unbelievers, like Paul said. And here he mentions one big way. in the futility of their minds. Our minds must not be guided by vain emptiness, by things that lack truth, as if our understanding is darkened and our hearts are blind to the truth. No. Christ opened our eyes through His death and resurrection. He has freed us from such darkness and defilement. He has opened our understanding by His Spirit. He has given us and implanted His very Word, His very truth into our hearts. And therefore, Paul can rightly tell us to stop and to turn from such vanity in our walk. We must live for Jesus, having renewed hearts and minds. And this is really what Paul shines light on in today's text, as he brings the rubber to meet the road in the contrast of our learning Christ. And so let's consider what Paul says about our learning Christ in verses 20 and 21, our putting off the old man in verse 22, and our putting on the new man in verses 23 and 24. If you look at verse 20 and 21 with me, you see there that he says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Now, considering the aspects of the walk of the unbelievers that Paul just spoke to in verse 17 through 19, considering the Ephesians were struggling and wrestling with such sin, similar to Paul's critique of the church in Rome in Romans chapter 1, Paul calls them to no longer walk in those ways, to stop giving themselves over to such thinking and living. And why? Because this is not how they learned Christ. Now, what does Paul mean by learning Christ? What he is saying, in other words, was this wasn't how they learned Christianity. This wasn't how they learned the teachings of Christ and the rules and law that He prescribed. This wasn't how they received the word about Christ in the gospel. Their walking like unbelievers in these ways was utterly inconsistent with godly character and lives that had been changed by such reception of the truth, by such transformation. Remember Paul's testimony to King Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 20, regarding the message that he preached. He said, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles." And he preached what? That they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Beloved, the gospel message calls us to repent of sin and to follow Christ in obeying His will. Remember Paul's words in chapter 1, verse 13 of Ephesians. "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth," note, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So Paul had already told the saints in Ephesus. He's telling God's people, "You trusted in Christ after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You have believed in Christ and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And this leads us to his words in verse 21 of chapter 4, where he says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Here, Paul is giving God's people a mild rebuke and warning. He's reminding them and us that we need to stay in and walk according to the teaching that we profess. They weren't, but they needed to live in a way that is befitting repentance, and so do we. Paul knew that they had been taught, but he reminded them, "This is how you learn Christ. You heard Him You've been taught him. You've been taught the truth as the truth is in him. Now this is indeed an important reminder as well for us. Christ speaks to us through his word, through proclamation of faithful ministers of the gospel, like the Ephesians heard, faithful proclamation of the word and the gospel from Paul and his colleagues. We need to hear, listen, and learn. And so I ask you, have you learned Christ? For those of you who have, for those who have heard and are being taught by Jesus and his truth, this is a time to consider the details of your walk and how they line up with the instruction of your Lord. This is a time to repent of vain thinking or ungodly living and walk according to the lessons and truth that he has and is teaching you. It's interesting here that Christ is the lesson and Christ is the teacher. Christ is the lesson. We are learning Christ. He is also the teacher. We are taught the ways of Christ by Christ himself. And there may be some of you here today who haven't truly heard and have been taught by Christ through the ears of faith. You may have sat in this room and heard much about Christ and his good news, but have never believed. My friends, hear the gospel message, the word of truth today that calls you to see the ways of your unbelieving walk and darkened understanding, to see your sin or the ways in which you are breaking God's commands and law, to hate them, to know God's saving grace in Christ, to repent and to turn from your sin in true faith unto Jesus. For he is the only one who can truly and fully save you from your sin and eternal punishment, giving you new life in him. Remember the truth that Paul told the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And consider also John 1:14 regarding the truth being in Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My friends, as Paul put forth, the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Real grace, real truth are held forth in and by Christ himself. Have great joy and encouragement that the great teacher will never lead you astray, but will only and always give you that which is perfectly and purely true, even as he gives you himself. The truth of Christ is beautiful and powerful as it is shown to us wonderfully in him and all that he teaches us. Brothers and sisters, considering that we've learned Christ and are being taught in new living and walking in new life, let's do what we are called to do in verse 22. Look at that with me. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. As we learn Christ, we are taught the put off and the put on principle. Right. Here Paul goes further to talk about then what we must do considering who we once were. He's talked much in this epistle before about who we once were, dead in trespasses and sins, defiled. Yet here he focuses again as he's talking about new life living. As he's talking about new life living, not only individually, but also as a body in the church, what are we to do? What must we do? What must we do even as he has called us to no longer walk in those ways as the Gentiles walk? But he says we are to put off the old man. Now, what does this mean? Is this like changing clothes? Taking off the old jacket, putting it on a hanger in the closet, and putting on a new one? There's much more to it than that, beloved. There's much more significance to it. This is truly turning away from sin. It's renouncing our sin. It is renouncing our sin and our sin nature. Now, this is clearly hard to do. It's easier said than done, right? It's hard to give up our old ways, our pet sins, besetting sins, our old lifestyles that we still may have some attachment to. But Paul says that we have to put them all aside, putting off the whole old man. This isn't a piecemeal deal. We can't get rid of most, but hang on to part of him. If he was a jacket, we can't cut the jacket in half. We can't just not wear the right side, but wear the left side. We've got to put it all off. Renounce it, even. This is what Paul is calling God's people to do. And in speaking of the old man, Paul is also pointing us to consider the two Adams and our natures in the two Adams that we are taught in the Scriptures. And what do I mean by that? Having been born in the first Adam, we have a sinful and depraved nature. Paul refers to the depraved nature that we derive from Adam to be the old man. That is our sinful nature. That is the nature that has been defiled. And as we are born again in Christ, the second and the last Adam, we have a renewed nature as new creations, which Paul refers to as the new man. Paul also taught this principle to Colossae as well in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he speaks to the putting off part of it there. We read there, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." So what does Paul say Ephesus must put off, even considering this list that is true of all of God's people in Colossians 3? What does Paul say Ephesus must put off in addition? Your former conduct, he specifically speaks to. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And notice that here we are to put off the old man both outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. This includes both sinful behavior as well as the matters of the mind and the heart, as well as the lies and the evil desires that we battle with within. There is an important lesson here to learn. When the beast of sin is fed, it grows. When the beast of sin is fed, it grows. See that in Paul's words. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. It may start off small, but it will grow into a giant of lust-fueled corruption. We are fooled, or even fool ourselves, into thinking that small sins are manageable. We can rationalize them in our flesh, and yet they grow into being out of control. They deceive because they convince us that in indulging them, in going along for that dark and defiled ride, we will be happy. They may gratify us temporarily, but they will never make us truly happy. Even so, we still try to rationalize them from a sin nature that Paul says we must renounce. We must have nothing to do with. Mortify it. Kill it. Cast it into the fire. Not feed and play with it. And why? Because we are now in Christ. We are free with renewed natures in Him. But he says, put off the old man, and in verse 23, he tells us more about what we are to do, in fact, even what is done to us, as well as putting on the new man in 24. Look at 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So when you think about the new man, think about renewal. Colossians 3, verse 10 says this, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. An important observation here is that being renewed is passive here. This is something that God does in us as He grows us in sanctification and sanctified reasoning in our minds. Jesus brings about inward transformation to our way of thinking, renewing our affection for Him. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. He deepens our understanding of His ways more and more through the ordinary means of grace, the preaching of the Word, the sacraments and prayer, along with personal study as well. He is cleansing and purifying us. What was marred in Adam is being restored as we are in Christ. And look at 24. Not only is there renewing of our minds, but that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we aren't just to put off the old man without putting something in its place. Whereas putting off involves renouncing sin and our sinful nature, putting on literally means clothing ourselves in the new nature that we have in Christ, and that which He is renewing us in. And what specifically is God renewing us in? Paul describes it as the new man, which was created according to God. So he tells us what to do, and he tells us what we are to put on. But then he also tells us what is true about what we are putting on. He tells us what is true about what God has done, and how God has even created this nature in the new man. So when we talk about this being created, this new man which is created according to God, it's also true that he is referring to that which is created after God's likeness or in His image. How do we know that to be true? And when we're talking about the image of God and God renewing in us Christ's image, what are we referring to? Well, if you look at Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 4, section 2 of creation, it's very helpful to us in this regard. It says, after God had made all other creatures, He created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls. And note, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness after His image. What are the proof texts on that? Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 4:24. For here we see that we are endued with knowledge, Colossians 3:10, but also righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24, after His own image. So when we talk about the Imago Dei, when we talk about the image of God in us, these are the three things we are referring to, that God teaches us about being created in His image. So as verse 24 is indeed one of those proof texts for this statement in the confession, and where Paul speaks to two of the three characteristics of our being created in God's image, and that being righteousness and holiness. This holiness is toward God and refers to our sincere obedience to His command in the first table of the law, the first four of the Ten Commandments. This righteousness is toward men and refers to obedience to the second table of the law, or the last six of the Ten Commandments. And so again, Paul teaches us by way of contrast, renounce your sin nature in Adam and clothe yourselves and grow in your renewed nature in Christ as God conforms us more and more in His image. And so I want to challenge you today to think about how your learning Christ matches up with how you live. Where are the evidences of grace? And where is the need for growth? Our learning Christ should also inform our walking as a body as well. And therefore, I give the same challenge to all of us. Are we prepared to deal with the inconsistencies that God shows us? And if not, let's get there. Let's do that, because that's important. God is so gracious to show us those inconsistencies. God is so gracious to show us our sin and to lead us to repent and to walk in the ways of righteousness. And so what are the things in you that no longer walk this way would apply to? We can't make excuses for sinful thoughts, harmful words, and bad behavior and think that we can just cruise along and get away with it, being right before God in the Christian life. Though it be hard, we must all be committed to putting off that which is sinful in our lives and stop playing around with the corruption within us and be committed to clothing ourselves with the new man, having our minds transformed and renewed by the grace and the work of God, growing in knowledge and righteousness and true holiness. Beloved, may we, by God's grace, learn Christ well for His glory. Amen.